greetings and salutations on this episode 141 of Progtopia, wherein we catch up with one of our favorite guests, repeat guests now. Third time that this gentleman has been on the show, twice now in the context that he will be here for today, and once in his other context for this little band called Marillion, you might have heard about. I am speaking of bass player extraordinaire. He plays other things, too. That's what people mostly know him as. Pete Trewavis. Pete should need no introduction, but I gave him a little one here. Yes, he's in Marillion. He's been there for everything important that the band has ever produced. And for today, he is going to be a member of Edison's Children on this show. I do ask him some Marillion stuff at the end, and he volunteers a little more, too. But Edison's Children is the band that he formed with American Eric Blackwood, who's a singer and guitarist and songwriter, perhaps known for Blackwood and Foti. Eric was on the show way back in our first year, when Edison's Children's first album was brand new. And I had Eric and Pete on together about a little over a year after that, I think. And now Edison's Children's fourth album called The Disturbance Fields has been released. And they preceded that with a gig down in Cocoa Beach, Florida, opening for Alan Parsons and his live project. They were there for the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the U.S. moon landing. And why might they be invited to something like that? Well, one of their other members is a guitarist by the name of Rick Armstrong. And that last name should sound familiar to you if you know anything about that first moon landing. Rick Armstrong is the son of first person on the moon, Neil Armstrong. So that's a nice little tie-in, too. Pete will also tell you about who else is playing on the album and who else played with them live at this gig. That gig's obviously over by now, but it was still an enjoyable event from what I can tell. And there's plenty to talk about as far as the new album. Once again, it's called The Disturbance Fields goes. The Disturbance Fields has a concept behind it that deals with a lot of the things that we're seeing in the weather recently. Touches on some subjects that we all should be paying attention to as far as our climate and things like that go. But you'll hear about that. You'll hear about some Marillion things. You'll hear about a lot of stuff in this interview that follows with Mr. Pete Trewavis.
Submerged down below, underneath this undertow, always supposed to be where you live now, thrive, dwell, dragging me down into yet uncharted waters, lost in this tidal zone. The airway dissipates, feet on what is left, beating on the depth of my soul, fighting for one last breath, drifting out to the edge of my world.
What you wish for?
Out of sight, out of mind, washed away with the tide till there's nothing left to remain.
Okay, as we're talking this evening, the band Edison's Children, you guys are preparing for something important. It'll be over by the time this episode airs, but can you tell everyone what you're in the States for?
Yes. So what's happening is that we've been invited to play with Alan Parsons to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing, and the Astronaut Scholarship Foundation have very kindly asked us to come along, and as a I guess a our association with Rick Armstrong being in the band and mm-hmm. being Neil Armstrong's son has kind of helped facilitate that for us. It's a fantastic event. We're very proud to be a part of that and to be helping Rick celebrate this event. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be supporting Alan Parsons. It's on, as we're speaking, it's on Saturday 13th. It was a really good reason for us to get on with the finishing of this album and get a release out. So this album's going to be actually available for that date. And people who pre-ordered, we've had a pre-order campaign running for the last few weeks, and we'd like to, you know, take this opportunity to thank everyone who got involved in that and helped out and supports the band in that way. Getting behind artists, as you probably know, is a huge, huge part of people being able to make music these days. Mm-hmm. And you know, especially the smaller bands, it's just, I can't tell you how important that is to get that support from your fans. So that's great, and we thank everybody for that. And yeah, so we're going to have a release coming out. We're going to be playing, as I said, on Cocoa Beach. At the moment, we're rehearsing. We've got a great band with us. We've got Lisa Wetton, who played drums on the album. She's actually going to be playing percussion and keyboards. We've got John Wesley, who's probably, if you don't know John Wesley, he's played in Porcupine Tree with Steve Wilson and a few other things as well. Yeah. He's got a band. John Wesley's got a band, and his drummer, Mark Pratter, is playing behind the kit for us. Myself and Rick Armstrong are going to be playing. We're going to be swapping between bass and guitar. And the man with the hat is going to be singing and playing a couple of little choice bits of guitar that he finds he likes to play on stage. He needs a prop.
Yeah, the man in the hat, of course, so, Eric Blackwood.
And it's going to be great. We get to support Alan Parsons. Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah.
Had you met Alan Parsons before this?
We're just, do you know what? I actually haven't met Alan Parsons.
Hmm.
So I'm very excited to do that. I mean, he's pretty iconic, right?
Sure.
Alan Parsons. I mean, for many reasons. I got into his music actually, obviously after being a huge Floyd fan and listening to Dark Side of the Moon and a lot of the other stuff, because he produced a ton of other stuff in the UK that I really like. But I got into the Alan Parsons Project at the time of Pyramid, the album mm-hmm. Pyramid. But also I'm in a band called Kino, mm-hmm. and John Beck is the keyboard player, and he played with Alan Parsons for a while. So I have a few. I know a lot of people who know Alan Parsons and have played with him, but I've never met him myself. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Yeah, that's going to be nice.
Kind of a hero of mine as well. I came in a little after you, but... yeah, I've got everything in the discography, certainly, of the project. So it's
amazing. Oh, they're just it's fantastic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is sort of a pre-release, I guess you could say, gig somewhat for the fourth Edison's Children album. It'll be out.
Well, the album will be available for that.
Right.
We're kind of having what I call a soft release because the campaign's been running for a few weeks, and because we've managed to get the CD manufactured for the show, that's when we're going to be releasing it. That's when the FLAC and MP3 downloads and all of that kind of stuff, depending what you pre-ordered, if you pre-ordered one of the bundles with that involved with it, that's all going to be available for this coming Saturday, the 13th.
Excellent.
We also do a vinyl. There's a gatefold double album vinyl version of the album, which is going to take a little longer. That has a 24-page booklet. Mm-hmm. The CD has a 20-page or 16-page. I can't remember how many pages the CD has, but that's got a really cool booklet with it. And of course, you know, as always, the artwork's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Wendy does all of that, puts all of that together for us, from original photographs and yeah, she people with a bit of manipulation here and there, and you know, a bit of artistic license here and there, and yeah, it's great. We're very much looking forward to being able to get this album out, because it's been a while in the making. Essentially, some of these songs have been around since the birth of Edison's Children. And because what we tend to do when we write, we originally started writing a second album and then got sidetracked when we were going to some other songs that we thought, oh, this is pretty cool. Once we sort of started to get to know each other a bit more and were a bit more in tune with each other, we actually ended up with more songs that we thought would fit on an album of their own. So we actually recorded and released the first album while we were working on the second album. But while all of that was going on, we went through lots of crazy situations with bad weather and storms and hurricane and an earthquake. I ended up singing one of the vocals for the first album during an earthquake. I didn't even realize. I had my eyes shut. I was screaming at the top of my voice. And I opened my eyes after I'd just finished singing a verse, and the rafters, it was a wooden structure with rafters going outside of the building, and they were shaking, and there was all this wind howling around, and I was like, what's going on? And, you know, things were rattling, and Eric said, yeah, I didn't want to tell you while you were singing, because it sounded really good, but we were in the middle of an earthquake here. And,
yeah. I seem to remember talking about that.
We've had lots of crazy stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So all of the time we've been recording the other two albums, we had this other concept going on, essentially about sort of Mother Nature and the you know, the effect that we're having on Mother Nature, and then the also the effect that then Mother Nature has on us. And whether that's an intentional thing, or whether that's just us messing it up, or whether Mother Nature is fighting back, you know. And we've you know, as I say, we've tied in quite a few personal events into that as well, because we've had lots of strange things going on while we recorded. And one thing that happened, for example, one of the songs alludes to a train crash. The London 6:15 or something, 6:05 or something, being goes careering off the track. That actually happened to me. I was in a train driving going to London very early in the morning, and the train derailed because of seriously bad flooding and a landslide. There was mud washed across the tracks, and our train derailed in the middle of a tunnel. And the train coming the other way from us also derailed, and both the fronts of both of the trains hit. Nobody was seriously injured, but the two drivers were they were very traumatized. They couldn't speak for like an hour or something. So nobody knew what was going on, because nobody they couldn't alert us to what was happening. We were stuck in a tunnel underneath a town. With no Wi-Fi, no means of knowing what's going on, and you start thinking, well, if no one else knows this is happening, then there's going to be another train coming behind.
Exactly.
Then, you know, but anyway, as luck would have it, we all safely managed to get out of the situation.
The ocean's temperatures are rising, making supercell hurricanes, causing overwhelming destruction to the point they've begun to annihilate. We've modernized our infrastructure at the expense of our own resource, evoking the wrath of Mother Nature. Now she's come back to reclaim it all. Look to the sky, the tempest is fading,
You know, it's funny that this album, in a way, I don't mean funny in the sense of laughing, but whenever I think of, you know, your main project, obviously, that people know you from is Marillion. And I think of Marillion as more of like a warm, summery sort of band. You know, that's something that I listen to, you know, for good moods, generally speaking. And then Edison's Children is something that's best suited for, you know, the rain coming down in October. But, I mean, I need both of those kind of things at different times, different moods. It suits that. So this album...
Absolutely.
Yeah, this album being like that.
Yeah.
It's just... Yes. I wonder if there's... Yeah, is that like a dual nature sort of thing for you? And, like, you have this sort of, like, two... It's not your only two projects, but between Marillion and Edison's Children, it seems like it's the contrast is there between like that more upbeat sound and then this more like, you know, Pink Floyd sort of thing going on.
Yeah, I mean this is it's a great observation actually, because it is the two completely different things, and it's quite nice to go away, and you know, dig into these things. Because it is a dark kind of haunting side, you know, what Edison's Children does and is about, and that's also reflected in the artwork and the nature of the songs, and the kind of vibe of the music a lot as well. We do have a couple of lighter moments, but it's really to get some shade, some light in amongst all of the shade, you know. Mm-hmm. We're very influenced by Floyd, but also there's lots of other influences as well. Eric is really influenced by heavy stuff. He was into Sabbath when he was younger, which is interesting because they're an English band.
Yeah.
And he's not.
No.
And I was really into Dan Fogelberg as well. And it was amazing when we started working together all those years ago that we both realized that we were huge fans of Dan Fogelberg. So that's cool, because we've got quite a lot of there's an element of folky, you know, the folky guitar themed music as well with that. So there's a melting pot of that, but it is essentially quite dark and haunting.
There's that through line with the, I think, just you talk about the art and, you know, the cover art and things like that. It's just sort of, you know, what you're going to get just from the entire package visually and orally from Edison's Children. And, you know,
this is
kind of the story is rather stark in this that you're telling with this concept album. It's, you know, I'm not going to give too much away, but I wonder how likely do you feel that this sort of cataclysm that's depicted in the album, this, you know, stormy, whatever you want to call it, how likely do you think that's could happen in reality if we're not better caretakers?
I think it's probably on the cards, isn't it? I mean, you know, the weather is getting more freaky each year.
Hmm.
You know, we've had such ridiculously high temperatures in Europe. People have been told to stay indoors. People have been dying on beaches.
Mm-hmm.
People have been dying because they've been getting so hot on the beaches of sort of southern France and Italy. Then, and when they go in the sea, the shock of the cold water has been too much for them.
Yeah.
And that's not just, you know, not just one or two people, and not just people who are either unfit or old or whatever, as you would probably expect in these situations, but, you know, lots of people. Yeah. So there have been warnings all over the place about, you know, too high, the temperature being too high, and stay indoors until it cools down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that that's an unusual occurrence, it seems. But then I think weather extremes are undoubtedly going to be a part of what's going on, and I can't see us changing. I can't see the governments and the corporations changing the way they do business, major policy changes. I just see us not addressing the issues of, you know, making our planet better, mm-hmm. and using up all our resources. I think that's, we've gone too far. Probably it's irreparable.
Sadly,
it sounds
I agree
very
with
dark,
you.
And
yeah,
I really hope that doesn't happen, you know.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
But I haven't seen any slowing down of or any major changes. You know, okay, it's great that people recycle, but it seems like putting a plaster over something that needs a bit more,
yeah,
a bit more attention.
We have a sucking chest wound here. It's a little more serious.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, I, you know, unfortunately, like I said, it seems more and more likely every day, just with especially.
Well, I think so, yeah. I can't see I can't see it changing, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
You know, which is a shame. You never know. Maybe in a few decades, people will change enough.
As we say, it's for our children to fix, but that's what every generation seems to say.
You really would hope that we would be able to start fixing it now.
Exactly, right, yeah.
Seeing as how we have all this data, we've got the data, we know what's happening to the polar, you know, the polar caps and all the other things that we have data on, and, you know, but yeah, no one said, right, this is enough. Yeah. Enough is enough.
No,
this is what we need to do.
Yeah,
on a worldwide basis, and we're the people that are going to make sure that that happens.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
How do you tie up everybody who, you know, it's easy to talk about, I guess.
You know the past is bittersweet. Resolutions are
just to get back to the music, to get back to the music a little
bit.
Yeah,
I know. Sorry, we got off on it.
No, that was my plan, was to talk about that. But I tend to notice musically, and this is, I'm sure this is intentional, that if there's a song that has a harder edge to it, those are the ones that you tend to get the lead vocal on. I mean, Eric takes most of them, it seems like, but I'm thinking of a song like The Surge in particular. That's kind of probably my initial front runner for my favorite track from the Disturbance Fields, this new album. I mean, that just seems like you seem to slot more into those when Edison's Children does get that harder edge. That's a Pete Trewavas vocal on those,
I guess. Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it? It is. I mean, The Surge is the reason why I'm singing The Surge, I suppose, mainly is because it's a song I wrote. Mm-hmm. And I had the biggest hand in that song coming together. I think it's a kind of a rock, it's a kind of a like English rock kind of thing, sort of Stonesy, more Mott the Hoople. I was thinking of Mott the Hoople more, and David Bowie, and that kind of that glam rock kind of era, that niche era. No, but I mean, I'm sure not many people know who Mott the Hoople are, but.
Oh.
They were quite a cool band back in the early 70s, I guess.
Yeah.
Late 60s, right. Early 70s.
Yeah.
And for a small time, Mick Ronson was the guitar player. And then Mick Rouse took over. And then I was basically thinking of those Mott the Hoople, David Bowie kind of esque songs. And The Surge is about somebody trying to stand up, and sort of be accountable and do something. Riding the surge is a test of your nerve, is partly about riding a weather storm, but it's also about riding the surge of people when you're trying to stand up and say, wait a minute, you're already, you're not thinking straight. This is, you know, this is actually what should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But and everybody, you know, surging against you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, some people will follow you, but most people won't. And so it's kind of about the two things, juxtaposition between the two.
Yeah.
And as I say, yeah, I put that together musically, which is why it's got that slightly Stonesy British kind of sound, I guess. So I got to sing it, which was initially what we were talking about, how I get to sing. But you're right, actually, because quite a lot of the, on the first album, there's a couple of rock things that Eric had more involvement in. And it's like, well, you should sing this, you know. It's like, how do I get, we need a harder edge on this. And then, you know, I would sing, because I've got a slightly higher range than Eric. So sometimes it suits me to be the screamer, for want of a better word.
After all these years, you get to do the screaming vocals. No, it's good. Yeah. They're good. Well, that's the one that you had the earthquake during too, right? During the first album was one of those tracks with the.
Yeah, I did. But I think you're right. I think there's two songs that kind of stand out as being probably the easiest songs to get your head round. With this album, and they would be The Surge and The Tempest, I think, as well. The Tempest is sort of straight ahead, fairly straight ahead song with quite a few hooks. Vocally, there's a strong hook. Musically, there's some strong guitar hooks in there as well. So it's quite a, you know, an immediate song, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other songs, not so.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're usually the ones that are most rewarding at the end of the day, I find.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody else does.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what prog's all about, isn't it? Prog's all about putting the hours in and getting the reward at the end of the day.
And, of course, and all the women that you get from it. That's, you know, all the...
Oh, yeah. That sea of black T-shirts.
And ponytails. After a few listens, I think so far The Surge is still holding up as my favorite song on the album. Let's have a listen to it right now. How about it? I have to say, maybe you've heard this from some others, but when you and Eric were talking online, you know, a little while ago there about a special announcement about the future of Edison's Children, you had me very worried. Yeah, it was usually when you hear about an announcement of, you know, coming regarding a band's future, it's something like a breakup or a hiatus or a member is leaving, and so then you go live with it, and then the server crashed, and it was good news. So.
Oh, I know, the server crashed. That was unbelievable, wasn't it? How can that? I mean, geez, I don't know.
You built it up perfectly.
I don't know how that happened, but that's one of those things. Technology, huh?
Yeah. Well,
it's great when it works.
I just thought I'd remark on it that you certainly had us going there for a while because, you know, we're going to wait. And then it was, you know, we're having trouble with this. It's like, now I'm in more agony because it's not. I don't know what they're saying. What's going on?
I know. I know. Well, I kind of apologize for that. But, well, I mean, the thing is, the fact is, though, is that there was a time where we were wondering how we were going to be able to carry on because of various situations and reasons that we weren't really able to function that well. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of was working on the album. Rick got involved. Rick Armstrong has been a huge fan and supporter of Edison's Children since its conception. We invited him to join the band because he was a really useful person to, you know, he's helped us a couple of times doing little shows that Eric's done, or when we played together at Brewtopia in Montreal a few years ago, and you know, his attention to detail and his attention is, you know, the way he was listening to the songs and you know, enjoying the bits that he thought were really important for people to get into. We decided that he would be a good member to add to the band. So he's now part of the band, and he's played on the album along with us. He played bass on some of the album. He played guitar on some of the album, and I played bass on some of the album and guitar as well. Mm-hmm. I tend to find when I'm working on music that I've written, the last thing I think about is the bass, and it's like, oh, we need bass on this because we never got around to doing it. You know, I've been busy playing guitar parts and arranging stuff and putting strings on and drums and you know, all the other stuff that goes on, and it's like, oh, we haven't got a bass. Oh, I just would have thrown a scratch bass down very early on and probably just played one verse and cut it about for the rest of the song, you know, just to have something in place. And it's like, oh, this needs work actually now. So I farmed some of that out to Rick, which was really cool. Yeah. And Henry Rogers from Touchstone played drums on the album as well, along with Lisa Whetton,
right,
who is joining us on stage on this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, last Saturday, depending on
my
point of view is this Saturday.
Sorry, I have a show coming out like right now as we're doing this, so usually I have to wait a week. But I do have to ask the quick obligatory Marillion question. Is there anything to report on that front now that, I mean, you've had the Marillion weekends this year, but, you know, anything you want to say about that? Or
yeah, we did. We are getting back together. Well, we've been getting back together to do some writing, actually. We've started some writing on the next album, and that's going well. But it's a long process for Marillion to write an album, particularly after the last two we've done, because both the last two albums have been successful, and particularly with Fear being, you know, very well received. Mm-hmm. And we find ourselves being quite busy and thrown back into the limelight at this point in time, which is lovely, but of course gives you less time to be creative in your own studio. So we are working on a new album, but it's very much a work in progress and early days at the moment.
Sure,
but actually, after this, I'm back in the Marillion studio doing some. we're doing some more writing sessions after the after this weekend. So yes, that's what I have to report. Nothing coming out in the near future, but in the soon.
As long as the wheels are moving,
in the foreseeable future.
That's all, what all the freaks.
The wheels
are
moving. Yeah. The wheels are wheels are moving, and everyone's well. You know, we're all getting on really, really well. So that's all good. That's the most. That's the major part of it as well. You know, because we've been together a very long time. So, but the thing, you know, we have to still want to do it and still feel that what we're doing is moving in the right direction and actually relevant. That's the most important thing for us.
Sure.
If we like what we're doing and we feel it's relevant and this is what we should be doing, then that's the only criteria for us to be writing and releasing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not because some record company wants us to, or because we feel the need to suddenly get some new music out, because, you know, that's not really where we are in our lives. But if we feel that what we're doing is relevant, we're always being creative people. You can't help yourself. You know, you create. Creative people are always creating. So there's no reason for us not to be excited about what we're writing. It's all good. It's all good.
Looking forward to whatever it turns into, of course. All right, before I, you know, cut you loose here, because, you know, I've taken up enough of your time that is very precious at the moment. Is there anything that I missed that you want to make sure that people know about, whether it's, you know, new album or just anything else you have going on?
I would like to mention that Marin are back on tour in Europe in the autumn, and we're going to be on the cruise to the Edge.
Right.
Next February, I think it is.
I think they do that in February.
I think it's either February or early March. Yeah. So that's great. I mean, that's always low. I mean, that's huge fun. Cruise the Edge. And I actually, you know, I mean, it's great being surrounded by that, all those amazing musicians.
Yeah. One of these years I have to do it.
I love it. I love it. Because, it's such a good thing. It's such a cool thing. And, we are this is kind of the first serious show, I guess, that Edison's Children is doing. So you never know. Well, hopefully, if this goes well, we'll be looking forward to doing some other live shows. And the album, as I say, is a very, very mature album for us. It's very well rounded as a piece of work. I'm really excited about it getting out to people and seeing what people think, because it's been a long time in the making. So it'd be nice to get some feedback.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give you some feedback having heard it first today. Yeah, I agree with you that it is mature. It's every album just seems to get just that little more evolution. There's recognizable elements to it, but it's moving. The wheels are moving. It's just a good progression. Yeah. We'll call it that too. I encourage everybody to get it. So that album is The Disturbance Fields, Edison's Children.bandcamp.com, I believe, is sort of the main avenue to get that.
You can also get it direct from edisonschildren.com or randomdisturbance.com. They both link to the same site.
Right.
If you're in Europe, Racket Records, which is Marillion's online shop, will be having it available to buy, download, whichever way you fancy listening to your music these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure through Bandcamp it will be available on iTunes and all the other places.
Well, Pete, you're the Aylesbury Groove Master. I don't know quite. I couldn't think of something alliterative for that, but it's been always a pleasure to speak with you, and I appreciate your time tonight. And best of luck with the album, with the. Well, the gig this weekend and or last weekend, or it could be a year ago, depending on when people are listening to this
show. Yeah, you never know. It could be, couldn't it?
Yeah. So, I know it's
that
been...
That long ago, right? Wow.
Well, I know it's been a busy time for you with all the rehearsals and everything. So, yeah, I really do appreciate you taking the time. And, yeah, best of luck with everything.
Pleasure. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for supporting us.
Oh, not a problem.
By the way, and thank all the listeners for listening, and hope you enjoy what you're hearing. And, yeah, thanks for having us on and taking the time with us.
Okay, edisonschildren.com, randomdisturbance.com, their Bandcamp page, their Facebook page, lots of places you can find Edison's Children and this new album and their previous albums online. All of them are great. All of them will give you what you're looking for if you kind of want this cross between Marillion, Pink Floyd, some other sometimes heavier elements in there too. It's really good stuff if you've caught up with them in our previous episodes that featured Edison's Children, then you already know what you're getting into. Although I will say, I think this album's probably going to be my favorite of theirs whenever all is said and done. Always takes me a while to kind of live with an album for a while to really know that. But yeah, and the message behind it is certainly an important one that we need in this day and age. So please go get your copies, however you want them, physical, digital, whatever it is. Please support the guys in Edison's Children because they're making some great music. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Progtopia. We're going to work for some more old and new guests over the summer here as we continue through the warm months of the year, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. Maybe we'll hear from some people in the Southern Hemisphere, though, as they chill their way through winter on their way to spring. We'll see. I know a couple of bands down there that I might be getting in touch with. But I'd like to thank Rita, Drew, my good buddy, for helping us get this one together with Edison's Children. I'll play you out with some more music from the Disturbance Fields. Thank you for listening. Please, if you want to listen to more, go to progtopia.com. All the archival episodes are there. Follow us on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. And then you'll be able to keep up with everything that we're doing through the summer and the rest of the year. We'll see you next time in a land called Progtopia.
There's nothing left here in this world for me. So this old man sits out his course for sea. As the harbor master sounds his last alarm, set sail into the